Hey. This is Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge,
your hometown voice.
And now your host, the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith.
Welcome to Rogue Talk. I am the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith, and this is Rogue Talk for Friday, January 27th, 2017. And we've got another great show set up for you today. My featured guest was supposed to be two guests. Well, it is two guests, but we're only going to hear from one of them. And that would be some representatives from the local FFA chapter, and they're here to promote, well, we're going to talk some more about FFA, but we're also going to promote their upcoming beef feed. So we will be hearing from Amber Cripps here in just a minute, also Annabelle Lee in the studio with us, but she's a little under the weather, and we'll get into that some more, but she's not going to come on microphone. I couldn't twist her arm, and I don't blame her. When I was sick for a couple of weeks, I'm sure you all suffered more than you usually do listening to this show, so we'll be getting to that a little bit later. But before we get into that, let's check a couple of stories in the local news. In the Rogue River Press this week, Brian Mortensen is reporting, has an article about the Chieftain mascot. The high school's trying to retain the rights, or the state giving them permission to continue on as the Chieftains as their mascot. And as a lot of you probably know, that has been going back and forth since they first ruled that the schools in Oregon would have to get rid of their Native American mascots. And then it was changed that there was one way they could get permission. And then it was changing again that they weren't going to give permission and that they were going to have to change them. And we're back onto if we can get permission from one of the major tribes, then we can keep the mascot. And in the article, it mentioned that representatives of the Siletz tribes, which are headquartered in Siletz, which is near Newport here in Oregon, they came to Rogue River and met with the Rogue River School Board Chairman Bruce Sund and his wife Cheryl Martin Sund. And Cheryl is the daughter of the late school board member James Martin. And James Martin had some Native American heritage, and he spent a lot of his life passing on that heritage to the local students. So the Chieftains got their mascot really with the blessing of the tribe at the time that was here in the local area. And so part of this is kind of a ridiculous jumping through hoops, at least from my estimation, because we're trying to make policy in the state based on, you know, somebody being offended. Now, if all of the Indian tribes had got together and voted and said, you know, hey, we don't like these mascots and we want them to go away, you know, that's not the same as a few people being, you know, air quotes, offended. And unfortunately, the way they do government here in this state, I'm afraid they probably lean more toward a few people got offended. And so this process has been going on for some time, and hopefully it's finally going to get resolved and get settled, and they will be able to keep the Chieftain mascot. And any of you that have lived in this area for any time know that there's no lampooning or even cartoonish type of use of the Chieftain mascot in Rogue River. It's always been very respectful, you know, and with the history in mind. And it's because of people like Cheryl Sund and her dad that you know, that it has been always kept respectful. So I think it's a ridiculous operation we're having to go through to get to this point. But I do salute the Suns for their work in helping with the district to finally get this resolved and move on. And I could understand it. You know, there's some of the other schools with Native American mascots that I felt they're, at the very least, some of their depictions were a little cartoonish and maybe not as respectful as they should be. I don't think they were ever poking fun at Native Americans, although, you know, I haven't been here forever, so I don't know the history of every, you know, every one of the schools. But, you know, somewhere like Roseburg, their Indian mascot, it seems a little cartoonish, and I could see where maybe they would want them to clean that up and make it a little more respectful of the Native American culture. But I don't think any of these schools were really being, you know, lampooning or you know, trying to demean the Indian. And I say Indian, that's what I grew up with, the Native Americans, and that's a whole other issue we could get into, but we'll leave that for another day. Something about science denying or something. I digress. But anyhow, you know, there's always little things that can be done to make it more respectful. But I think most of the schools are proud of the mascot that they have and proud of the Indian heritage that they have. So it was nice to see that is progressing. Apparently, they have to get this done by June. Otherwise, they will have to change the mascot. So hopefully the cooperation between the school and the school district and the tribe will get that taken care of. So that was something of interest going on here around Rogue River. Also in the Rogue River Press, I see that the theft case against Sandra Blanco is finally getting close to a conclusion. She recently pleaded guilty in a case that dates back to 2015. Her sentencing hearing has been set for February 3rd, and she pleaded guilty to several charges of stealing from her employer at the time, Rogue River Pharmacy, over a period of time, I believe, between, don't have it in my notes, but I believe between 2012 and 2015 was when she was working for the pharmacy and had been, you know, stealing. I believe she worked in a role where, you know, maybe like a bookkeeping type role where she was able to kind of conceal her theft for obviously for some time. But she finally has pleaded guilty, and it's nice to see that it's going to get resolved. She faces a maximum term of 21 years. I doubt seriously she'll get that much time. And of course, she's somebody that lived in the community and that a lot of people know. So it's not a happy day for anybody. But I definitely think it's a relief for the folks that own the pharmacy that this is finally getting resolved and that they can move on from this. It's been dragged out for quite some time, as many of these cases in this county and in this state do. In fact, the next one we're going to talk about is another one that is starting to drag on. So nobody's happy about any of this, but relieved that we're finally getting a resolution in this. And the other case that is up in the news again, the case of the former music teacher at the high school who was accused of some sort of sexual assault I'm definitely not a lawyer, and some of the terms that they use here in Oregon are different descriptive terms for the crimes than what I was used to when I grew up in California. But either way, he was accused of some felony misconduct, and they've set for the fifth time a pretrial hearing. The last hearing had been scheduled for January 23rd, It's now been moved to February 27th, and I guess the only, at least in terms of resolving the issue, the only good news in this is it appears that the two sides are getting close to some sort of an agreement. So it's looking like he may be pleading to something. Obviously, that's not, we won't know that until that either the news comes out or until the pretrial hearing. But it appears that they're coming closer to some sort of agreement between the prosecutor and the defense. And so hopefully that's going to also get resolved. But, you know, the fact that it's been delayed and delayed and delayed and we're on our fifth pretrial hearing, it's probably a little frustrating for the people involved, especially the family of the victim or victims. I believe there's only one victim, but I'm not even sure that that's been determined in, of course, because it involved a high school, you know, high school students. The victim, at least at the time, was most likely a minor, and so none of that information has been shared. But hopefully that's going to get resolved coming up next month. So that's it for the local news. All, you know, one good story, two not so good, but all important to people around the community. And so, moving on to some of the community events, and we talked about a couple of these last week, but we'll hit them here again today. Tonight, and I did confirm this is the right address, the community center tonight at 5 o'clock, games will start at 6, is bingo. And this is to support the junior high trip to Washington, D.C. There'll be lots of raffle prizes. There'll be a 50-50. There'll be the raffles, and all of the cash will be 50-50. So 50 cents of every dollar will be paid out to the bingo winners, and the other 50 cents goes to the students. And so this is a nice way to raise a lot of money to help these junior high kids take this Washington, D.C. trip. It's $1 per sheet to play. Please bring your cash. No other method of payment will be taken. So bring your cash and get out to the community center tonight. Doors open at 5. Games start at 6 o'clock. And lots of raffle items, too. So get out there and support those junior high kids. Also coming up, and I believe we talked about this last week, the 12th Annual Crab Dinner Fundraiser for the Miss Rogue River Scholarship Pageant. And this will be taking place on February 11th. It'll be at 5 p.m. at the Live Oak Grange. And it'll be a sit-down dinner. There'll be music and dancing. There'll be silent auctions and raffles. And so we're looking forward to that. Of course, I'm the MC of that event as well as the pageant. And we have a really good time at this. You know, the girls all do a wonderful job of putting on this dinner, and they work really hard because this is their big fundraiser to go toward those scholarships that they'll be competing for in, I believe the pageant is in May this year. And so put that one in your calendar, February 11th, the crab dinner to support the Miss Rogue River Scholarship Pageant. And finally, the last thing I won't have to plug right now because we'll be talking about it in the next segment is the FFA beef feed. And so that's coming up. So we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. And before we take a break and get to our guest, finally in Chieftain Sports, the boys basketball game on Friday night, last Friday night, lost to St. Mary's in a game that they had to play without Derek Pratt. He had been ejected from the previous game, and OSAA rules state that you have to sit out the next game if you're ejected from a game. So they played that game without Derek Pratt, and they lost 57-31. And then on Tuesday night, they traveled to Triad. Derek Pratt was back in the lineup, and wasn't probably his best game overall, but he started the game really, really nicely with a monstrous right-handed dunk. That was the first bucket of the game for the Chieftains, and that got them going to a pretty close game. They ultimately lost, though, 48-37. And we'll talk about the upcoming schedule. There's no games tonight, but there is games tomorrow, but we'll get to that a little bit later. Then over in girls basketball, the girls also hosted St. Mary's last Friday. They lost 60-20. And then at Triad, the Timberwolves of Triad got out to a really quick first quarter lead. And then the Chieftains kind of woke up, and they hung with them the rest of the way. Unfortunately, they were never able to make up that early deficit, but they played them pretty evenly most of the way. Final score of that game was 37-20. And of course, again, they'll be playing again coming up this Saturday. We'll get into that a little bit later. And then finally, the wrestlers competed in the Eagle Point Invitational Tournament. They finished fifth out of 12 teams. And the standouts for the Chieftains from that tournament, Jacob Tambellini was the champion at 195. Of course, Jacob doing double duty, playing for the basketball team as well as wrestling for the wrestling team. So congrats to Jacob. A couple other standouts, Austin Quayle and Gabe Ashidi, both with second place finishes. Austin at 152 and Gabe at 285. And finally, Gavin Decker and Makai Jacob, both with third-place finishes. Gavin at 132 and Makai at 120. And also Eric Goodbow with a fourth-place finish at 220. So those were your wrestling standouts. And we'll take a look at their schedule, see when their next meet's coming up. We'll talk about that a little bit later. So that's all I've got for you for this break. And when we come back, I'll have Amber Cripps from the Rogue River FFA. So don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
We are live outside the home of Joe and Rosie Goddard, where a pretty big tickle fight broke out just minutes ago. Sources say their father instigated the laughter. Let's go inside for a comment. Apparently, they have no comment. Dads, let this be a reminder that it only takes a moment to make a moment. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Radio without all that junk. You're listening to 94.3 The Bridge.
With S-Word Sports, I'm Patrick Foss. The Cleveland Cavaliers are in a serious funk, dropping 6-8 after an overtime home loss to lowly Sacramento, 116-112. Cavs coach Tyronn Lue says that his team is out of sync.
We just got to play better. You know, we missed 17 free throws a night again, 18 turnovers, and when you're struggling to win games, you can't do that to win a game.
Toronto dropped their fifth straight, 101-99 to Memphis, to stay three games behind Eastern Conference leader Cleveland. Boston with a 120-109 win over Houston is now only a half game behind the Raptors. Western Conference leader Golden State has now gone 132 regular season games without losing back-to-back contests. They beat Charlotte 113-103 last night. Warriors guard Stephen Curry with 28 points says the thought of losing two in a row is a big deal for his club.
You don't ever want to get that negative energy in your locker room if you can avoid it. It's a big game that next game after a loss.
Golden State a league best 39-7. Oklahoma City beat New Orleans 114-105 as Russell Westbrook passed Larry Bird with his 60th career triple-double. This is Esser in Sports. Deion Waiters scored 14 of his 24 points in the fourth quarter, including the clinching three with 6.8 seconds left in Miami's 109-106 win over Brooklyn. Atlanta beat Chicago 119-114 as the Hawks ended the game in a 19-4 run. Philadelphia's won 5 of 6. They beat Milwaukee 114-109. Dallas was a 103-95 winner over New York, and Portland beat the LA Lakers 105-98. On the NHL scoreboard, Toronto blanked Detroit 4-0. Maple Leafs rookie center Austin Matthews, who scored his 23rd goal of the season, says the Leafs took advantage of a tired Red Wings team.
I think we played a really solid game. These guys were playing back-to-back, and one of our key things that I think this team's made of is speed, so we definitely wanted to use that to our full advantage.
Philadelphia blanked the New York Rangers 2-0. It was Vancouver edging Colorado 3-2, and Edmonton iced Anaheim 4-0. With Esser in Sports, I'm Patrick Foss.
Hello, Kubo. What have you got planned for today?
Come on, this way.
Adventure can be found anywhere, but the best place to start is in the forest.
It's the most powerful magic there is.
Head outside to discover incredible animals.
Wow.
And beautiful plants that come together to create an unforgettable adventure. So grab your loved ones and explore a world of possibilities. Visit discovertheforest.org to find the closest forest or park to you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk, and now joining me in the studio, representing the Rogue River High School FFA program, a friend of the show, Amber Cripps. Welcome back to Rogue Talk, Amber.
Hi, thanks for having me back on the show.
So since we talked to you last, the FFA has had a activity or two, and you've got another couple of things coming up, and we wanted to talk about those things today. But you had mentioned to me that since we talked to you last, you had your national convention. What was that about? I did see some of the pictures, but what was that about, and where was it? Where was that at?
Yeah, so national convention is actually the largest meeting of FFA members across the nation. It was back in October, and I believe this year it was in Indianapolis, if I'm not mistaken. So we took a group of about five, including a chaperone and two advisors. We started our trip by landing in Chicago after some delayed flights, and we toured around the city for the day and then made our way down by car till we made it to Indianapolis. We stopped at a few awesome agricultural sites along the way, including the John Deere factory. We got to see how they put some of their tractors and seeders together, which seemed kind of boring to me at first before we had gone inside, but once we were in there, it was actually like a really interesting experience. Along the way, we also got to stop at the Caterpillar factory and just Fair Oaks Farm, which was basically like a public entry of large-scale farming. So that was interesting to see, because there's a lot of misconceptions about agriculture on a large scale and how they're producing animal and food that we're intaking. So it was really good to see over there. So
yeah, look like a fun trip. And yeah, it's hard to say with high school students and how something like a tractor plant would be interesting. Now, for me, for many years, I was in the hydraulic business. So getting into a tractor plant would be really cool for me. But it's great to hear that you guys found it fun after not being sure how much fun you thought that was going to be. And so you said there was five of you that went. Is that right?
Yeah, I believe there was five of us.
Yeah. I did see some of the pictures on Facebook, and I was kind of following along as you guys were getting delayed and making a trip out of it, and we're getting a queue here. It was actually six people that went. I do have to apologize. I did say on last week's show that Annabelle Lee would be on the show, and she is here today, but she's under the weather, and we didn't want to put her froggy voice out there. Or actually, she didn't. So, and I don't blame her, because I was sick for a couple of weeks on the show, and I felt a little self-conscious myself. So, but Annabelle's here, so she'll keep us on the right path, Amber.
Okay.
So now the next thing we've got coming up then, and that's kind of the reason you're here, is the FFA Beef Feed and Auction. You do this every year. Tell me about Well, first of all, tell me when and where.
All right, so our beef feed and auction is going to be February 4th. It's a Saturday. Our silent auction begins at 5 p.m. Dinner is then at 5:45 p.m. And it's going to be at the Rogue River Elementary School West Gym, which is the old middle school. So there will be parking and everything. We'll have people moving the car, showing the cars where to park. And then from there, it's not going to be hard to miss. We have people escorting everyone to the gym and whatnot, but
okay. So what? What happens at the beef feed? I mean, obviously, I'm assuming people get to eat, but what else is going on there?
So the beef feed is actually our largest fundraiser throughout the year. We're having an auction. We've been gathering donations for our silent auction and our live auction. So it is a tri-tip dinner, and during the dinner, we're going to be auctioning off some amazing items. I believe this year we do have another timber truck load full of firewood, so that was a good item last year. We're still in the process of securing our donation, so I can't for sure say everything we've had this year, but I believe last year we raised nearly $10,000 from it, and all of the money that we raise, it goes towards activities that we participate in throughout the year, such as competitions, leadership events, or conventions such as state convention or national convention. Some of these funds, 100% of it goes back to the kids that have been putting it on. So it's definitely a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's great. And I imagine that you may do even better this year on the firewood thing, because with Snowmageddon hitting hard this year, I've seen a lot of posts out on the Weimer page looking for firewood. So even though there's a lot of downed trees, it's one thing to have a tree down. It's another thing to have it chopped up and ready to burn in your fireplace. And it's usually green, so you can't use it that year. So there seems to be a big demand for firewood. So I imagine that one will do you pretty good this year.
Hope so.
So I'm looking at this flyer. Nice flyer you guys got here. And the silent auction starts at 5 o'clock. The dinner is at 5:45, and then you're having a regular auction starting at 6:30. And so you mentioned some of the items that you'll be auctioning off, and all of the proceeds support the Rogue River chapter, right?
Yes, sir.
So, and now is this. Has this previously been at the elementary school, or has this been at the high school in previous years?
Mr. Herringshaw was the one that actually started it down at the middle school. It had been up at the high school before I started in FFA, but as our program grew larger, the high school didn't have the correct facilities for us to hold an auction with almost 320 guests at it, so we decided to move down there, and it's definitely working out great for the past few years. And then it's local in town because we have different donors from Medford, Grants Pass area, so it's easy to find, easy to fit people in.
Yeah, so once again, that is in the west campus of the elementary, or as most of us know it, is the old middle school gym. And so if you have any question, now, are there things that you need? Are you still needing auction items, or are there any donations that are needed to put this on, or are you guys pretty well ready to go?
We're pretty well ready to go. Donation planning begins as far back sometimes as November. So we have our alumni members have been going out and securing larger donations, and we have some chapter members. We had divvied up businesses in the area, so I'm sure that most of them in Rogue River have been visited by a FFA member or an FFA parent. So at this point, we're just in the process of securing the donations, figuring out what we have, and putting it all into a catalog.
Sure. And I know this is a very popular event around here, and it's obviously you guys have got it over the years, have dialed it in pretty well. So should be a great event. If you have any questions regarding tickets or the night of the event, you can call. Sam Herringshaw is the advisor, and this is the school phone number, I assume. 541-582-3297. And you can ask for Mr. Herringshaw if you have any questions about the beef feed. So we're happy to be able to promote that here, and we'll be talking about about that until the day that it comes up. So we'll keep plugging that here on Rogue Talk, making sure people don't forget. Although I know a lot of people really enjoy going to that event, so I'm sure they'll be there. So let's go back to some of the other activities that you do with FFA. We mentioned the national convention that happened previously, but you have a couple of things coming up, some competitions. Tell me about what those two competitions are.
So the competitions that are coming up are going to be our leadership CDEs, and they are going to be held on February 16th, I believe, over in Klamath Falls. So it's my favorite time of the year right now. So all of our public speaking and debate type competitions are really coming to play. So we have different competitions that our members are participating in, such as job interview, sophomore public speaking, advanced public speaking, impromptu speaking, and parliamentary procedure, which is one of my favorites. It's almost like a fancy way of having a debate with someone. So we're going off of Robert's Rules of Order that we've been learning about in the classroom, which is the correct way to run a meeting and everything to make sure everything's ran efficiently. This last year, I was able to participate in the sophomore public speaking event, and it really helped me come out of my shell. So that's when I really started enjoying these leadership CDs. I mean, you can take a student who's been shy, and the thought of public speaking makes them almost want to wet their pants or something, but then totally transform into someone who's comfortable and confident with that kind of stuff. So. And then also on February 1st, I believe it is, we have our district proficiency night. So that's where all of the things that we're doing outside of the classroom are going to come into play. So FFA has a three-tier model, and one of those tiers is SAE, which stands for Supervised Agriculture Experience. So any jobs or farmhand type placements that students have outside of the classroom that are related to agriculture, during the proficiency night, they can actually apply for an award within the district to kind of say who does something in their field of expertise the best. Our chapter president, Michael Howard, actually moved on to state and placed third in the whole state for fruit production because he works up on his grandparents' farm over the summer. So that's a lot of fun. And also that same night, we're having elections for our district officers, which are kind of the more central leaders for us. They're representing the whole Southern Oregon district rather than just the Rogue River FFA chapter or other chapters across the state. So that's something really exciting to look forward to as well.
Yeah, so that's great, and it sounds like we have a pretty good chapter. I mean, you're clearly very knowledgeable about the whole process. So you're obviously well entrenched in this in the FFA culture, because you're doing this with no notes, by the way, which was very impressive. And so it looks to me like, and correct me if I'm wrong, it looks like we've got some pretty good, pretty talented kids in our FFA program.
Yeah, I believe it's almost 2/3 of our whole school population are involved within the FFA program, and that's a really large jump from when I was first exposed to our FFA program. We had had a few different ag teachers that kind of had just passed through. We never had much of a strong chapter throughout the recent years until Mr. Herringshaw came back. He kind of had the lucky task of building us up from what seemed like the bottom, and we're on an upward path right now, and I'm really amazed with all of the progress that all of the students, the younger members and everything, they're really getting excited about agriculture, and that's something that I'm really happy to see.
Yeah, and I've noticed it, that it just seems like the program is really, really strong. And I noticed it in the interactions that we have with you, getting you on the show. This is the second time we've had FFA on the show since we started the show in August. And everything is done very professionally. You ask the right questions of me, and you give me the kind of answers I need from you. And so I've been really impressed and pleased, and which is why I welcome you guys to come on anytime, because you guys make it easy for me, because you really have everything together, it seems like. So I'm happy about that. So let's plug the beef feed one more time, and then since I got you here, we'll talk a little bit about Miss Rogue River.
All right.
So once again, it's February 4th, and it'll be held in the Rogue River Elementary School West gym, which is the old middle school gym. The silent auction starts at 5. Dinner starts at 5:45, and the regular or oral auction starts at 6:30. Dinner tickets are $12. And if you have any questions, you can contact the school. Mr. Herringshaw is the advisor, and that number is 541-582-3297. And if you didn't get that number written down, you can also contact me here right at Rogue Talk, and I will get you a hold of the right people. So let's talk quickly. I did this to Autumn last week and put her on the spot a little bit, but she was actually very gracious and very happy to talk about. There's a few of you that are all pretty good friends, all participating in Miss Rogue River. How did that start out? How did you decide to take a look and see if Miss Rogue River was going to be for you?
You know, I believe it was actually your daughter had pulled me aside during an open house at the beginning of the year. I know Elizabeth, who was Miss Rogue River last year, and they had both talked to me, and it didn't seem like something that I had originally been interested in. At first, I was like, oh, it's a beauty pageant. I've seen Toddlers and Tiara on TV, and I don't think that this is the kind of thing for me. But once I went to the first meeting, I realized that it's something that's local, tight-knit within our community, and it looked like an amazing opportunity to just kind of maybe get more involved in the community with the platform community service project. And also, they're doing it for the students, so of course I would want to be involved in that. It's something that I'm definitely excited about. It. I know that all my friends that are participating in it are excited about it, too.
Yeah, and I know we had Autumn on, and she's going to participate. And Annabelle's here with us. She's not on microphone, but she's also participating. And definitely your involvement in FFA and the kinds of competitions that you're participating in will help you immensely in Miss Rogue River, because you do some similar things. You have to talk about your platform, and you have to give a speech. It happens to be about yourself, but you're judged on those things, and you have an interview that is much like a job interview. So all of you ladies that are in the FFA, you've got that first step that a lot of the girls that have done it haven't had. So that's going to help you for sure. But
yeah. But
tell me now, come on, who do you think is going to do best between the three? We have more than three, but the three A's are three A's: Autumn, Annabelle, and Amber.
Oh, that is a good question, putting me on the spot. I think I'm going to take the easy way out and say that whoever puts the most time and effort into it should end up on top.
Well, and I didn't put Autumn on the spot. I didn't ask her. Well, and I'm starting to get to know Autumn a little better, and I have a feeling I might know what her answer would have been. So, so I didn't put her on the spot. I'm just kidding, Autumn. We had a fun time on Friday, and she didn't get too mad when I called her Amber once. So she forgave me for that. So no, and I'm so happy. Of course, as you know, I'm the MC both for the crab dinner and for the pageant, and I'm really looking forward to it, because I think all the girls involved are really, really fun kids and very more talent than I think even they know they have. And we talked about that at that first meeting, was that the talent is usually seems to be the scariest.
Yeah.
Unless you're a good singer or have some other unique thing, you know, play an instrument or something, everybody kind of thinks, oh, I don't really have a talent. But we always find something that works out pretty well. And I'm glad that Katarina was able to talk you into getting out there, and we're happy to have you for that. And since we're talking about that, we also have the crab dinner coming up, so you can eat a couple of weeks in a row, I believe it is. I'm going to bring my calendar up here really quick, but I think these are just a week apart from one another. So, yeah, the crab feed or crab dinner, actually. We used to call it a feed, but we do more of a sit-down dinner now. So the crab dinner will be February 11th. So you can support these talented young people in our community, both in 2 weekends in a row. You can have some great food and some great fun. So get to the FFA beef feed on the 4th, and then the crab feed on the following week, which, what did I say that was? The 11th. And so unless you've got anything else you want to say about FFA, we'll wrap it up. I know you ladies have somewhere you've got to be, so we won't keep you here for Cameron's picks, but maybe next time you get on, we'll do that again. But I want to thank you, Amber, and thank you, Annabelle, who's off microphone, for coming in today. We appreciate it, and we hope that the Beef Feed is a big success.
Yep. Thank you again.
Yep.
It was nice seeing you.
It's been happy to have you here, and we welcome you back anytime, and we will be right back.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. President Donald Trump has signed an executive action implementing new vetting measures he says are aimed at keeping radical Islamic terrorists out of the United States. Speaking at the Pentagon, Mr. Trump says we don't want them here. His comments echoed his campaign pledge to implement extreme vetting programs, particularly for people coming from countries with ties to terrorism. The pro-life movement has held a triumphant rally on the National Mall. Vice President Mike Pence told the crowd at the March for Life that pro-life policies are a top priority of the new administration, and President Trump tweeted that the rally had his full support. The March for Life is held every year in Washington to mark the anniversary of the 1973 Supreme Court decision legalizing abortion. While no official crowd estimates are available, the turnout was clearly larger than in recent years. Of Wall Street, the Dow jumped by 7 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Keeping you informed, giving you the good news. You're listening to 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice.
Oh, I wish there was a way to find out what events are going on in Rogue River.
There is.
There is?
Yeah, the website for 94.3 The Bridge.
They have Rogue River events on their website?
Yeah, for Gold Hill, Weimar, and Grants Pass, too. You can even submit your own event for everyone in town to see. And if it's on the website, they automatically talk about it on the radio, too.
That's awesome. What's the address to this site?
It's 943thebridge.com.
N-I-N...
No. Just type the numbers. 943thebridge.com.
Oh, 943thebridge.com. Hey, look, they have the latest local news on there, too.
They have everything on there. 943thebridge.com.
My savings are gone.
Okay, where were they last?
Here, right before I spent them on that vacation to Aruba.
Weird. Not weird. Not saving now means no money later. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
With the SRN News Business Brief, I'm Dennis Crowley. President Trump is moving quickly to advance the Keystone XL and Dakota Access oil pipelines. He has signed actions to aggressively overhaul America's energy policy. President Obama had personally halted the Keystone XL project, which was to bring oil from Canada to the United States. Major protest demonstrations have frozen work on the Dakota pipeline. Toyota says it's recalling about 79,000 Tundra pickup trucks in the U.S. and Canada and Central America because steps in the rear bumpers could break. Toyota says if the truck backed into something, that could damage the step and could break if a person steps on it, increasing the risk of injury. And on Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 112 points. With business...
Welcome back to Rogue Talk, and we're ready for our final segment, and unfortunately, we will be covering the picks of the Rogue Talk mascot, otherwise known as my son Cameron, but he won't be joining us. I knew he had to stay at the school. Today's the last day to get your grades all made, you know, in and right, and he's apparently has a little work to make up or something, because I knew he had to stay after school today to make sure that everything was good, because if his grades aren't good enough, he doesn't get to play basketball, and he doesn't want to lose on that, so he's taking care of that. I thought maybe we'd get him on the phone, but we weren't able to line that up, so I don't want to run out of time. So let's get the schedule for the Chieftain Sports coming up. Let's start with basketball, the varsity teams will host Illinois Valley tomorrow. The girls' game will be at 4 o'clock and the boys' game at 5:30. So come on out to James Martin Court and cheer on your Chieftain teams taking on the Illinois Valley Cougars. And then they will finish the home-at-home series on Tuesday when they travel to Illinois Valley. Game times for those games will be girls at 6 and boys at 7:30. And if you're looking at your schedule and scratching your head a bit, when they rescheduled the game that got snowed out because we were the school that was not in session, Illinois Valley actually was in session that day that the game got canceled because of all the snow out in Weimar was the main reason for that cancellation. They got to choose how it was rescheduled, so they chose to have the home game on Tuesday, so they wouldn't have to travel on the school day, and so we're stuck traveling on the school day on Tuesday, and we'll be hosting the makeup game tomorrow. All four of those games will be right here on 94.3 The Bridge. And so moving on to wrestling, the wrestlers will travel tomorrow to the Douglas tournament, and that will start at 8 a.m. And then on Thursday at 5 o'clock, the Chieftains will be hosting Glide and Lapine at James Martin Court. So those are your two events upcoming for the wrestling team. And finally, the junior high girls basketball. This is one I like to cover because I used to coach over at when it was the middle school. And they have a couple of games this week. Monday, they'll be hosting Prospect at 4:30. And that will be in the elementary school West Gym, the same one we talked about earlier for the beef feed. It's most of us know it as the middle school gym, but since they changed the way the schools are configured, it's now the West Campus of the elementary school. And so that will be Monday at 4:30, and then Thursday at 4 o'clock, they will travel to Applegate. So those are the Chieftain games coming up for all the different teams right now. And so let's move on to Cameron's picks. I know this is the point where some of you turn off the radio, but a lot of people enjoy, it's more fun when Cameron's here or at least on the phone, but like I said, I couldn't quite make that happen. In fact, he texted me a few minutes ago and I said, I can still get you on the phone. And he said, no, I still got work to finish. So, His uncle called, said he's a deadbeat, but I say, you know, better late than never. And it's not really the school he's worried about. He probably has met the school's criteria for being able to play sports, but mom and dad's criteria are a little bit stiffer, so he's making sure that he hits that criteria. But so let's move on to the picks. They're going to be a little different today. Of course, college football has been over for a couple of weeks, and there's no pro game. Nobody in their right mind would bet on the Pro Bowl. So I'm sure Mike in the truck will be betting on the Pro Bowl, but nobody else would bet on the Pro Bowl. So we're not going to pick the Pro Bowl. But so this is going to be kind of a mismatch of games here. We're going to start with tennis. Now, I can tell you that Cameron, the Rogue Talk mascot, knows nothing about tennis, and I can prove this to you because Mike in the truck picks the AFC. Like I said, nobody in their right mind would bet on the Pro Bowl. So back to the tennis. I sent Cameron his text of the games that he's going to pick. I don't like to give him too far ahead of time. We like to make it kind of a last second thing. So I told him to pick the final of the Australian Open on the women's side. And of course, that features Venus Williams taking on Serena Williams. Venus is the 13th ranked player in the world. Serena, the second ranked player in the world. And the text I sent him was Venus Williams versus Serena. And the text I got back was, Williams. So I had to get a hold of him and have him clarify which Williams. So that's how much he knows about tennis. And admittedly, I don't follow tennis as much as I used to, but I do know who the Williams sisters are, and I do know which one is which. And ultimately, he decided to pick Serena, which I felt like was a pretty good choice. Venus has been playing a lot better lately and has gotten herself back to the 13th rank, but I just think Serena will be too much for her. Serena is consistently either number one or number two in the rankings, and she's one of the best players that's probably ever played on the women's side, and probably better than a few of the men, but definitely one of the best on the women's side. So he's going to pick Serena in that one. And incidentally, he was 3-2 last week. And so his record is now 44-36-3. So still 8 games over 500. Not a bad place to be if you're betting. Of course, we don't bet on any of these, but we do have some fun picking them anyhow. So moving on, couple of NBA games. The first one, all these picks are even. There's no spread on these. Some of them don't have a spread, but the other ones were actually an even spread when I looked them up earlier today. So the Grizzlies will be taking on the Blazers, and to no surprise, Cameron's picking the Grizzlies. He's not a big Blazer fan, and I can hear the boos, but it's okay. You'll be all right. So he picked the Grizzlies to beat the Blazers, and the next game we picked is the LA Clippers. We'll be taking on the Golden State Warriors, and to any of our regular listeners, it'll be no surprise that Cameron picked the Golden State Warriors to win that game. And in college basketball, a couple of top teams. Kansas is taking on Kentucky this weekend, and he is going to pick Kansas in that game. And finally, the last game we're going to pick, we went to the high school ranks. So Mike in the truck likes the Kansas pick. He his response was, duh. So now, come on, they're both ranked. So we don't know until the game is played. But yeah, Kansas, probably a pretty strong pick there. But anyhow, the last game we're going to pick, we picked the boys game tonight, Cascade Christian at St. Mary's. And he's going to take Cascade Christian in that one. So that's the rest of Cameron's picks for this week. And so we got a couple of minutes left, and I thought I would talk about a few things I've been paying attention to over the week. Of course, we've had our first full week with our new president, and of course he's a, if nothing else, he's a very divisive figure among the people of this country right now. And no matter where you stand on who the president is or what he's going to do, the thing I noticed this past week is not just all of the division and people fighting on Facebook and on Twitter and you know, and then we had the marches. I don't know if the pro-life march is today or tomorrow, and I don't get too interested in these marches. Why I'm not, it doesn't I don't know which day it is. I'm happy for people to get out and march for their cause. And then, of course, there was the Women's March recently, and the couple of things I noticed is Mike in the truck is beating me to the punch, was the Dow has been steadily increasing since the election, and it's up over 20,000. So that's a good sign. But I also noticed that the more divisive it gets on places like Facebook and Twitter, the more ridiculous the memes get. I've seen some things that they just don't make any sense, and I'm not a big fan of memes. If they're funny, I like them. If you're trying to make a political point or some sort of social point, they're usually pretty shallow, which is why they're only two-dimensional. But if you're going to do a meme, you know, do a couple of things. Make sure the comparison you're making is an actual comparison. I had one comparing Planned Parenthood to Viagra, and I'm like, Viagra is not even federally funded, so I'm not sure what the comparison was there. I've seen some other ones with some horrible misspellings, so let's try and get it right, people. But I'm going to be out of time, so everybody be good to one another, because Rogue Talk is over.
You've been listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge. Listen to Rogue Talk with Jeff Smith Fridays at 3 p.m. right here on Rogue River's Hometown Voice. 94.3 The Bridge. Or on demand at 943thebridge.com.